Good morning. The Gemara in Shabbos has an interesting Gemara, a little in Yonah Diyoma. The Gemara says that Lechorva Yerushalayim Elo Shepasu Mimenu Anshei Amono, that Yerushalayim was destroyed because the Anshei Amono, trustworthy people, were not to be found in Yerushalayim anymore. And the Gemara brings down a pasuk, Bo v'shaytu b'chutzos Yerushalayim, that if a person goes and looks around in the streets of Yerushalayim, and mimotze ish oisim mishpon mevakesh emuna, if you find, you're not going to find a person who does mishpon and is trustworthy. Marsha points to explains that the anshei amona mean pasuk anshei amona means that when everyone involved in business was over isroina, and whenever they had an opportunity, they would take advantage of it, rip people off. And he explains that's why the pasuk says bo b'chutzes Yerushalayim imyumotzei ish. What it means is that as we learned last week, that when a person does aino, when you overcharge someone, what's the halacha? The victim has to come back right away and claim the aino. If he waits k'day shiro l'tagar, if he waits and doesn't immediately check and come back and ask for a refund, then that's it. He's not entitled to his money back. So Zok the Marsha, what they used to do then was, first they would overcharge the customer, and then they'd hide. They'd shut their store, hang up a sign, on vacation, we'll be back next week. The customer would go to a tagger, find out he was ripped off, run back, and wouldn't be able to find the person. Once you can't find the person, then already you're going to lose your right to claim oina. And that's why it's bo b'chutz imyumotzei ish. If you can find the person who's on it, because anyone who did a mekach u'membra, you couldn't find them anymore. He skipped town for a couple of days. And that is what caused the churban of Yerushalayim. Now,
what?
Not really. So the Marsha is a little bit problematic, because it's clear in the Gemara that if a person tries to return the item and there's an oinus, he simply can't, then the time frame is extended. So if this does happen to you, if you're ripped off and you immediately check it and you try to bring it back and the person's store is closed, you will be able to get a refund the next day. What some of the Marsha means is that go prove to Beis Din that you came right away and he was closed. How are you going to prove it? It's much more difficult. He could. If he would run to Beis Din and say, I just knocked on the door, I got ripped off yesterday, I'm coming back today, and his store is closed, he's on vacation, and he'll win. But since it's just adds another level of complexity, and the chances are there's a reasonable chance the Moichah will end up getting away with it. Now, I'd like to go back and discuss what's probably the most negeya and fundamental issue in Hilchos Aino. And that is, we brought up 2 weeks ago, we had a very basic problem in how I can sell business halacha. The problem was, as we pointed out, that although the list price is $23, based on the contract with Artstroll, I'm not allowed to sell it for less than $21. The fact is, at least in Lakewood, the shire is $18. None of the stores sell it for more than that. And therefore, if I would sell it for $21, there's an issur right now. So I'd like to discuss today, try to see if we can find an Eitzah. Is there a way for me to actually sell a few copies of the book? So let's begin with the first possibility. And the first Shaila is, by now everyone in this room knows that $21 is overpriced. I've been speaking about it enough, and everyone realizes that it's not the fair market value. So the Shaila is, if people know that they're overpaying, is there an issur right now? Or can I go ahead and charge it? And if they know that they're overpaying, suffer v'kiba. So for this, we have the Gemara that we learned today, Bava Metzia Daf Nun Aleph. The Gemara says, "Ahu gavra davenoket varashchi lizvunei, kari yeshita v'shavi chamsha." A person with a peddler was selling his wares. The item was worth $5. And he announced it's for sale for $6. Now someone realized what was going on, and he made a cheshbon. The person's asking for $6. If I buy it for $6, what's the halacha? The halacha is, if it's worth $5 and I pay $6, it's aino. What are my rights? The halacha is, kano machzor aino. I can go back to him, I can hold him in front of a Beis Din, and demand the refund of one zuz. Now, this person, his asking price was $6. The buyer realized that if he handles a little bit, he'll be able to get it for 5.5. But the Bari made a chesed. If I get him down to 5.5 and I pay 5.5, and then I try bringing him to Bezdin and say it was, I know I want a refund, what's going to happen? It's worth 5. I paid 5.5. Do I have any claim? No. It's pachas mishtos. It's mechila. So the buyer said, you know what? I'm not going to handle. He came in like a nice tmimistic customer. He paid full price. And then he holds the person in front of a bezin and he gets a refund. And the Gemara says, that works. He's entitled to a refund. So we see from the Gemara that even though the buyer, when he bought the goods, knew good and well it was only worth 5, and he willingly paid 6, he has every right to turn around and ask for a refund. So vice versa, knowing what its fair market value is does not mean a mechila. And the reason for this is, when a person overpays, there are two possibilities. One possibility is he was meichel. He knew it was worth 5, he's willing to pay 6, he's desperate, he's meichel. If he's meichel, he's meichel, there's no way not. But the other possibility is he was not meichel. He bought it with the intention of claiming Oino afterwards. And if that's the case, he has every right to make the claim. Since we don't know which one is true, so we don't assume there's a mechila. The person has a right, the person has a schus. We don't assume he gave it up for no reason. And therefore, in this case, he would have every right to claim Oino afterwards. Now, because of this, many achroinim say, this halacha is limited. The Gemara's case is it was worth 5 and you're selling it for 6. What's the halacha if you overpay by 1/6? The halacha is it's oino, the sale stands, but you're entitled to a refund. What would be if the case is a little different? What would be if it was worth 5 and he's selling it for 7? The buyer realizes he's being ripped off, but he buys it anyway. Can he claim oino afterwards? Now what's the halacha if it's worth 5 and you pay 7? You're chayzer. What does it mean chayzer? You can't just ask for a refund of the $2. There the halacha is the whole sale is void. You give back the item, you get back your $7. Now if that's the halacha, then does it make any sense for the person to buy it with the intent of claiming the refund afterwards? No, because he's going to pay $7, he'll get the item. He'll come back the next day in Bezdin, and he'll claim Oino, he'll give back the item, he'll give back his $7. What's he wasting his time for? So if the person, it's worth 5 and he's selling it for 6, there's Oino of a shtos, exactly, there the halacha is the sale stands. So then, the reason why he's doing this is he wants the item. And he wants the item at the fair market value. So he pays 6, and he claims the extras, those in Bezdin, he claims Oino in Bezdin. But the moment you go above a shtus, and there the halacha is, the whole sale is void, there it makes no sense to go through the motions, and if he bought it, it must be there's a mechila. So if it's a shtus, that's a good claim. But if it's more than a shtus, then it doesn't make sense, it would be usher for him to do this. Because the halacha is that if it's more than a shtus and you claim it right now, the deal is off. And you have to give back the item. If you know there's I know of more, if you know there's I know of more than a shtus, and you use it, that's gzela. It's not your item. To the extent that you're going to be planning giving it back the next day, you have no right to use it. And therefore, once you use it, you're going to lose your rights to claim I know, and you can't argue that I did it to use because that's gzela. In other words, that's my rasha. We're going back to the moment of the sale. If at the moment of the sale he knew it was more than a shtus, the only pshat is he was moichel. Because there makes no sense to take it and just to bring it back the next day. You have no right to use it. So it must be he decided, it's worth it, I'll pay the extra tuzos, I'll pay the oino, and he was mevater, he was moichel on his rights. Interestingly, the Dibbas Moish declares whether this Gemara says that by no shtus, you can claim a refund. Is it usser or mutter to go into the deal, paving the 6 zuz, with the intent of coming back the next day for a refund?
Knevis das,
you're forcing him to sell it, whatever. Sigur's Moshe declares that in Dibras Moshe, but he says at the end that Mustama it's mutter. Because all you're doing is, you're preventing the seller from being over in Yisrael
Dara Issa. He was over already.
He's ended up paying it back. He was mechaven to be over. He tried to be over, but you're going to hold him in front of Bezdin. You're going to force him to give it back. And at the end of the day, he still have to do tshuva for what he did. But at the end of the day, he's not going to be ma'ani. And if you look at Oinoah as a form of gzeila, stopping a moicher from stealing is not also. And if a dirus moish is mitzad, then it's mutter luchachil to do this. What?
If I pay seven, also I think to be over.
Well, if you pay seven, there's a mechila. If you pay seven, we're saying there's a mechila, and there's. He probably is over his because he tried to be over. Assuming he knows about it. Then it's like Vashem Yislach Lo. He's trying to do an Avera,
yeah, and
but it's not. He's probably not over this already. No, it's like if a person robs your house, and so you happen to be sitting there, and you're the Chavetz Chaim, and while he's sitting there stealing, you said I'm Moichel. So he tried to be over in this Gezel. Well, Maisa, he wasn't because he gave it to him b'matana. That's the eclipse. That's roughly what's happening.
What's the luck in the case of Bittul Meshach where he was not aware of it? And he
brought
it to come back to Christ, and then he used
Christ,
right? Yeah. Meanwhile, he used the
chayt. So it depends. If he used it after he realized there was a no, then once you use it, the Ritva says, that's mechila. Because since you have no right to use it, once you realize it's going back, it's mechila. However, if you used it before you knew, and you'll have issues with Kadesh or Latagar, your time frame is pretty narrow. But assuming it's not a tie on why you used it, then you have every right to bring it back.
What if there's another person who also
What is getting it out of the way? He's going to have to get the item back. I mean, then they'll start negotiating again. Okay, you know. In theory, the stoma is when you're paying seven, there's an assumed mechila because there's no other pshat. If you can establish and prove that there wasn't mechila, you'll have a nice entire over it. So going back to our case. So if it's worth $18, if this halacha is worth $18, and I'm selling it for 21, so there I have a problem. Because there it's like no avushtos. So anyone here can go ahead and offer to pay the $21. And right after the mekach, they can bring me to Bezin the next day and say it's like no avushtos. They want a refund for the $3. On the other hand, if the fair market value is not 18, it's $17.99. So then, the no is more than avushtos. Once it's more than a shtus, there's no pshat to buy it and then demanding a refund afterwards, then they would be stuck with the item. But I'll call upon him, if they know it's exactly a shtus, we see there's no mechila. Now, on the other hand, we have a Gemara which is mashma the other way. The end of the Gemara says. Okay, that was a shiur 2 weeks ago. But we're assuming once we've established the shiur, we're dealing with. Once there's a shahr, how to deal with this child of mechila?
So if you sell for 21,
okay, let me just hold off on the questions. We have a lot of ground to cover. At the end of the Gemara, the standing Gemara in Daf and Aleph says that there's an exception. Oinoah v'shtus is you walk into a store, if they charge you a sixth more than the fair value, that's oinoah. However, what happens if you knock on someone's door and say, "I'd like to buy your car. I'd like to buy his pie, his nechassim." So, if you're buying from a private person, there the Gemara says, a private person does not sell his personal goods unless he's getting a real premium. He doesn't do that. And therefore, Hilchos Aino does not apply. Now, what it sounds like in this Gemara is, that as long as I realize that I'm being overcharged, there's no Aino. We don't make any condition, we don't make any mechila. If I walk over to a Baal Bayis, I know the norm is, if he sells things, he sells at a premium, I can't come back with a complaint. So what's the difference between the two cases? In the first case, I bought it, I knew it was only worth $5, and I paid $6. I can pop up the next day and say, I only overpaid, because my plan was to claim I know the next day. But when I buy from Baal Bayis, and I know I'm being overcharged, I have no recourse. There we say there's mechila, and I can't make any claim. There is a svara of Lididi Shavuot in the Ritva and Kedushin and Daf says such a svara. But if you look at Rashi over here, it's not the svara that he says. He says there's an implied mechila. It's like a tanai, and he waived his rights. Now, a similar halacha, although again, it's not such a raya, but by Ein Hadas Toya, there's halacha that I know it's worth $5. I pay $6. I pay $7. I pay $8. That's I know. If it's worth 5 and I pay 20, there's no way no. Because that's Ein Hadas Toya. No one in his right mind thinks this item's worth 20. And if he agrees to pay such a mugzam price, a vice toys he was moichel. So again, we see that if a person knows when he's buying it that it's not a fair price, there's no way no. So how is this consistent with the first halacha that we learned, that if I know I'm being overcharged, I can still claim my noy afterwards? So Zoktik Tzoy is a beautiful chiluk. He says like this. Really the halacha is, if I buy something and I know it's overpriced, I still, unless I'm specifically moichel, I can come the next day, I can claim my noy. But what happens in a case where I walk into a store, and the person tells me, I'm selling it for 10, it's really only worth 7. It's really only worth 8. And I say, okay, I don't care, I'll buy it anyway. So, if we make an agreement, I agree to overpay, I'm agreeing to waive my rights, and there's no time to avoid no. Now we'll get to it in a few minutes, Hilchas Tanai, Tanai Kafo, there'll be certain conditions how you have to waive it. But if there's an understanding between the parties, this is not the fair value. If you want it, this is what you have to pay for it. If you want fair market value, go down the block, you'll find it cheaper there. If I go ahead and I buy it, I can't claim I know. That was the deal. I agreed to overpay. Zok Diksois, that's only when the seller is overcharging. The buyer knows that the seller is overcharging. The seller knows that the buyer knows that that the price is wrong. There's an implicit agreement. Forget about I know. I'm willing to overpay. But that's only when everyone understands this is not the fair price. I know it's not the fair price. You know it's not the fair price. We each know that the other one knows it's not the fair price. It's the equivalent of a tanai. Mashiach in the Gemara's case, what was the Gemara's case? The seller was trying to take advantage of the person. He was walking around saying, I'm selling for 6. As far as he was concerned, he was just looking for a naive customer who would think that's the fair market value. When I go along and I buy, I happen to know it's not a fair price. But I don't tell it to him. The seller sells it thinking, oh, I took advantage, I found someone naive, I ripped him off. Is there a tanai? Is there an agreement to be moichel though I know? Absolutely not. As far as the seller is concerned, he doesn't know that I even know there's I know. So when there it's in the open, we all recognize it's not the fair price, and we do the deal anyway. That's a heskin, that's an agreement to waive the oinah. But if the deal, the seller is trying to convince everyone it's the fair market value, just the buyer happens to personally be a little bit more sophisticated, he realizes that he's being taken for a ride, there's no mechila, and there he'll be able to claim oinah afterwards. So it'll come out that if a person is in sales, sometimes it's good to be a shlamazel. Because if someone comes into the store, and you're a smooth talker, and as far as anyone's concerned, this is a fair price, and he buys it, then if there's a no, the next day he'll have a claim. On the other hand, if you're a lousy ganav, and it's very open that this is not the fair price, and he goes ahead buying it knowing that it's not the fair price, and you know that he knows, and it's clear that there was a decision to buy it anyway, then it would come out, he would have no claim of anah. Because since there was an implied tanai, and he would have no claim afterwards. Now, this is the halacha when a person comes in. So the Ketzais is basically saying, if it's clear that this is not the fair price, when you buy from a Baal HaBayis, everyone knows by a Baal HaBayis, they're selling at a premium. Since everyone knows it, everyone who buys from a Baal HaBayis doesn't imply tanai. It's only when you're buying from a private person, when you're buying from a store, where as far as everyone's concerned, it's a fair price, there, even if you realize it's unfair, you can claim a noy afterwards. Now, the Gemara continues on the bottom of Daphne and Aleph, and goes through a little bit of Hilchos Tanoim. If a person sells goods and says, Amanashe in lecho olay oino, what's the halacha? So we pass in like Rav, that even if the seller says, I'm selling it to you on the condition you don't come back to me with oino, there is oino. And the Gemara explains the only way to waive oino is to say, it's worth this item that I'm selling for 200, it's worth only 100, and I'm selling it to you on the condition there's no oino. You have to disclose, you can't just say that you have to be, that I'm selling it to you, there's no way no. You have to explain that this is not the fair price, It's really worth only 100. If you want to pay 200, don't come back to me with Oino. Now,
so what's the
thing that is Oino is when you hang up a sign in your store. Anyone who buys here has no claim of Oino. A general thing. You don't have a claim of Oino. I'm not disclosing this particular thing is overpriced. I'm saying I do business that I know. In that case, there's no mechila because the buyer has no idea whether this item is fairly priced or not. He may say, you're protecting yourself, but this is a fair price. When you disclose this item is overpriced and he buys it anyway, there, that's a good mechila. There's machlokes achroinim, how far it goes. If you look at the Gemara literally, the case was you disclose, it's worth 100, I'm selling it for 200. And according to the Rambam, that's what you have to do. You have to disclose what its fair price is. If you just say, these goods are overpriced, there is Oino. And the reason for that is, he can come back and say, I knew it was overpriced, I didn't realize it was so, I thought it was $1, $2, a little bit. I didn't realize how much Oino there was. So to be Moichel Oino, he has to know exactly how much he's being Moichel. That's the Shita of HaRambam, this is what the Mechaber Pasen's like.
Let's say he finds out that he didn't disclose the right price. And he says it's worth 100, really the fair market value is 50. So he's willing to spend $100 more. Then he finds out that really the fair market value is really only 50, not 100.
Again, what did he pay?
The guy tells him it's really worth 100, I'm charging you $200.
So very good. So the Kedegar and the Radvaz both talk about those cases. And what Rav says like this, his case is even a bigger chiddush. He says, a person comes into the store, the moicher says, it's worth 100, if you want to buy it, I'm selling it to you for 200. And he buys it. He's willing to walk away from $100. Now it comes out that it's really worth 99. Now, if it was worth 99, you sold it for 100, what's the halacha? That's Bachas Mishtur, says Mechila. Over here, the person, it was worth 99, you say it's worth 100 and you pay 200. So on the 100, so he's okay, Claris, do you say, the $100 extra is a matana? You know you're paying $100 more than you should. So, put that aside, it's worth 99, he told you it's 100, so there's like, no, of one there's mechil. Or, perhaps no. Perhaps the pshat is, you are being ripped off. You're in a very magnanimous mood, and for $100 you're willing to get ripped off. But if it's a penny more than that, then it's not I know of $1, it's I know of $101. And that's how the Radvaz paskins. He says if it's a mashahu off, the whole mechila is gone. So when you do a disclosure, you have to be very careful. If you tell him it's worth 100 and it's worth 99, the whole mechila is batal. He only agreed to waive 100, and anything more than that is going to be mevatel the wholesale. Well, it depends how much it is. The smaz point is that mechila has to be precise. I have to tell you, it's worth 18, I'm selling it to you for 21. If I don't disclose how much the rip-off is, then you can say, I was only willing to move out to $5, not $6. And you'll always be able to get out of the backtrack off the mechila.
And wouldn't that be important to $6?
It depends on the case. If it's worth 100 and I tell you, if I tell you it's worth 100 and I tell you, I sell for 200 and I tell you it's overpriced. So it could be it's really worth 190, it could be it's worth 180, it could be 170. The buyer doesn't know what he's being moichel. And therefore the Sma says, if you don't know what you're being moichel, you can always come back afterwards and say, I didn't agree to be moichel that much. And therefore you have to be very specific, you have to say exactly what you're waiving. So again, just to summarize, what comes out is that when a person wants to be, when a seller wants to overcharge, and he's using a lashon of aminas, it's not just enough to say that I'm selling to you on the condition you don't come back to me and claim I know. You have to disclose that it is overpriced, and according to some poskim, you have to say exactly how much it's overpriced. And according to those poskim, if you're off by anything, then the whole mechila will not be effective, and there will be a betel mecher. So let's go back to a typical case. You walk into a store and there's a big sale. And what does it say? 30% off. Let me ask you, when you buy something at 30% below the market value, really, that's how you know. The same way Eino applies to a moicher, you can't overcharge a customer. Eino also applies to the seller. You can't, if you pay below market value for the goods, the seller can come back to you the next day and say, you paid below market value, and I want you to pay the difference. What?
He knows what he's doing.
True, but the problem is like this: when you walk into a store and there's a sale, does the seller say these goods are really worth 100? I'm selling it to you for 70, and it's almanasha in the olayah. There should be no, I know. Do you have hilchus tanoim when every time you walk into a store? No, there's no tanoim. If you don't have hilchus tanoim, the seller should be able to say, "As never meichel." So every time you buy something on sale, but afterwards the seller should be able to make phone calls and demand all the money back. So obviously this is not true. And the reason for it is it's really based on the Tagali Masech, and it's more clear on the Machane Ephraim. The whole reason why you need a Tanai is really, if you want to be Michael something, if someone owes you money and you're Michael him, do you need a Tanai? You can tell him, I'm Michael you. Owe me $100, I'm Michael, keep it. That's perfectly fine. Why do you need a Tanai over here? You need a Tanai because it's the wrong person that's doing the Mechila. I'm walking into a store. I don't really plan on being Meichel anything. I'm not ready to overpay. The seller wants to rip me off and wants to protect himself. So there the guy in the Sefta explains, unless he have all sorts of rules, he has to disclose that there is, I know. He may have to disclose the amount. He has to say Al Minas, because these are all what he's doing to force the buyer to waive his rights. To force the buyer to waive the rights, you need a Tanai, you need all these rules. On the other hand, if the buyer walks in, and before the seller opens his mouth, he says, you know what, I know you're overpriced. But I don't care, and I'm willing to pay your price anyway. You don't need a Tanai, you don't have to talk about how much. The buyer is the one on his own that said, I'm ready to be Michael, whatever the Eino is. This whole halakha is the other way around. When the seller is trying to force the buyer to waive his rights, he imposes a Tanai. But if the buyer voluntarily decides I'm going to overpay, you don't need anything. Once he makes a decision, that's his decision. So whenever you walk into a store and there's a sale, the seller is saying, I know it's worth 100, I'm willing to take 70 for it. You don't need a Tanai kofel, it's not totally in the sugi at all. Since he knows what he's doing, he's voluntarily waiving his rights, any way that he does it would be fine. Now, going back to business halacha, it'll come out, the halacha will be very interesting. If I'm selling it to anybody in this room, by now everyone in the room knows that its true value is $18. It's not worth $21. If they go ahead and they come to me and they say that they'd like to buy it, so obviously they're being meichel. I don't need mishpat ha'tanoim, I don't need to go into the technicalities of the sugya. It's clear, they know about it, just like if you charge in hadas toyo, or if you buy from a baal habayis, where everyone realizes it's not the fair price, you don't need a tanai. So we hear it too, by now everyone knows about it, there would not be a problem, you would not need mishpat ha'tanoim. However, if there's anyone who wasn't at the shir, and they would approach me and ask me for the book, then the only way to cover myself is I have to tell them. The fair value is $18. I'm selling it to you for $21. Because since in that case, they had no yediyah, and I'm trying to force them to be moichel, there you would need mishpatei hatanoim, and it wouldn't be, and anything less than that would not be effective. I don't have to sell it, and if I do sell it, I can give everyone the whole spiel. So it's not mashgasa b'tayra. I have every right to tell everyone that this is its fair market value. This is what I'm selling it for. If you want to buy it, good. If not, go down the block to the farm store and buy it there. So, at the end of the day, if anyone is still interested in any copies... That's true, and that's why if I disclose it to you correctly and you decide it's taco worth it, you'll have every right to buy it. So we discussed that 2 weeks ago. There are different sharim. On the other hand, normally when an author sells a book, the shar is probably less. Most people assume when an author is selling a work, they're getting a discount. There's no middleman, there's no markup, there's no svarim store, there's no overhead. So I think the shire of buying from a private person is probably less. So that's why in this case there would be, clearly be an obligation to disclose that this is not the fair shot. What's the autograph? That's a different item. That's a, you have to be comparing equivalent items. But I didn't say that's $21. Okay. So that's true. If he discloses it, but that's like the Gemara's case. If the fair value is 5, and I sell it for 6, if you're coming, your kavana is to be meichel, then wonderful, you gave me a matana. But if that wasn't your kavana, I don't know your kavana. You have every right the next day to claim I know. Now, you know, in all these cases, if a person is moed in bez, and then when he bought it, he was moichel. So mechila b'lev is probably good enough. But if he comes the next day and says, I wasn't moichel, you're going to win. Because in Hilchos Hanah, we don't assume there's mechila. And we had a similar case. We learned that a moicher, a seller, has no time frame. He can always, whenever he figures out there's Hanah, he can always demand a refund. And why? So we explained because the buyer that has the item can go to someone and ask what the fair price is. The seller that sold it doesn't have it, has no way to compare it, and that was the halacha. What happens if the buyer, the seller comes back to the buyer 6 months later and says, you know what, I just realized I was underpaid, I want you to pay the difference. The buyer says, mechatesa, I'm a muchzik. I'm holding on to the item, I don't want to give it back to you. You have to prove that it took the past 6 months. You didn't know that you were ripped off. Salach over here is the buyer is not believed, even though he's the muchzik and only amay tachel v'raya. Because to say someone was meichel is a taina geruah. People are not meichel so fast. So the seller, since he had the right to claim I know, probably would have claimed I know. He would have waived that right so fast. So until you can prove that he knew about it and he waived his right, the taina of mechila is always a taina geruah.
Yeah,
he would lose his right. He has to act right away. You can't wait indefinitely.
How do you deal with a very common scenario with buying out of desperation? It happens all the time, right? You're very thirsty, you need a Pepsi. You go into a local convenience store, $1.70 for 12 ounce can of Pepsi. And you walk out cursing a guy, body, ripped you off after you've gotten, you know, two liter bottles. But he said, listen, you know, I'm traveling, I'm on the way, I wasn't going to slept here, slept there. So, at the end of the day, you're not really Michael, you're not really forgetting the guy who charged you $1.70 for a can of soda. But, and your desperation,
it's like this. The first thing you have to determine is $1.79 or not? Now, we all know if you walk into a grocery, the same can of soda is going to cost you 50 cents. But if all convenience stores sell it for $1.79, then there's a different shahr for a cold drink in a convenient place as opposed to a warm drink in some supermarket or department store. So you're going to have to, this was really what we discussed 2 weeks ago, you have to compare equivalent shahrs. The prices in convenience stores are going to be higher and have a different shahr than a price in a supermarket. Now, if you walk into a convenience store, it means you're looking for that shahr. You don't want to go to a supermarket. You want that convenience. You're ready to pay for that convenience. And therefore, it's not a question of mechila. It's not einah in the first place. On the other hand, if the price in this convenience store is $1.79, but they take one look at you and see when you come in that you're going to pay anything for this. So, if they charge you $5 for the soda, that's ein hadas toya. And that's a real mechila. You know it's not the fair value, and you know you're making a decision. You're not paying the fair value. On the other hand, in the middle case, where you come in, you're desperate for a drink. You haven't been in a 7-Eleven for a few years. You don't know what the price of a convenience store is. And they charge you $2.50. And that would be I know. Because it's not the shahr of a convenience store. All the other stores charge $1.79. They're taking advantage of you because you don't know the difference. But if it's clear that you know what the market is, you're willing to pay extra, I'll be pashtus, it's not enough. What? Yeah, so there is Tol Dinner of the Havireini in Siman Reish Samach Dalid. If you didn't pay yet, you may be able to say Mishnat Anibach, but that's a whole sugya, when you could and when you can't say it. There is such a concept. When you're desperate for something, and a person gives you a crazy price, there are times you can say Mishnat Anibach, but it's not Hilchas Aino. That's Mishnat Anibach. It's two separate sugyas.
But what if you take it against a gas or something in this town, and you buy it,
that's mechila. You can't. Oino is when a person's taking advantage. If you've made a decision that you're willing to pay this amount, then you're willing to pay it.
So,
if your intent is to come back the next day and claim oino, then it's not a mechila. On the other hand, if it's in a case, it goes back to what we spoke about in the beginning of this year. If it's open, if it's everyone knows this is not the price, you buy from a Baal HaBayis. Baal HaBayis can charge more. And if you go ahead and you buy and you know that, he knows that and you know that, there's an agreement to waive Oino in such a case.
Is it mechila or not? Because
we should do something film. Well, Sefer Torah, the Gemara talks about Sefer Torah. It's mechilkis, but we pass them that there is. Oh, so Esrogim is what we didn't have a chance to talk about today. We'll get to it next week from Yirtzeh Hashem. Esrogim, there are some very interesting shailos when it comes to Hilchos Aino. Alright, thank you. Yeah.